Hey, welcome to Texas!
He's a 10.
I choose this family.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 112 of 911 Lone Star Roundup. I'm one of your hosts, EJ, and with me are my lovely co-hosts, Katie and Grace.
Hey guys.
Hello, everyone.
Today we'll be revisiting some older episodes of 911 from season 2 in honor of getting to know more about Tommy. These episodes are Hen Begins, episode 9, Chim Begins, episode 12, and Bobby Begins, episode 16. Tommy was featured in all of those, and so we thought we'd go back, and we've all kind of, over the last week or so, rewatched them now that season 7 has some new developments with Tommy in it. And I think all of us have our own thoughts on each of these Begins episodes touching differently now for various reasons, and not just for Tommy, but for all of the characters. If you want to check out episodes, our episode 40 and our episode 42, we did talk about these a little more in detail. So we're probably going to gloss over some of the specifics of the episode, but I guess we'll do our best to kind of let you know what's going on and when with these scenes. Yeah, I'm excited. We talked about it, that, you know, obviously there's a little bit of a hiatus right now because of some different events going on ABC. So yeah, we thought this would be a fun way to keep us going. And I actually really enjoyed the Begins episode. So let's get started. So we start with, and Hen Begins, when Hen is talking about in her voiceover of first responders being born twice, and how she, the whole bit, Hen Begins is about her going from, I think it was a pharmaceutical rep all the way to becoming a paramedic. And, you know, we see flashbacks of her and Ava together. And then, you know, we see Hen starting at the 118, but it was definitely an old boys club because, and so having a woman in there, a woman of color, it was very it was a big struggle for Hen. But of all the guys who, you know, didn't welcome her, Chim was there, and he was the only one that did, because he remembered. You know, and I think we talked about it right before we were starting recording, how it's odd that they did the way they did the Chim and Hen Begins, because technically we should have done them an opposite, because Chim was already in Hen Begins, but then Hen was in Hen was not in Chim Begins. But
it was odd, because it's just like, we just got Hen Begins, but like Chim was there, and then we get Chim Begins. It just like, I sort of understand with like everything that was going on in that season why they aired them this way, but I'm also like, I guess it didn't make sense. My favorite, like, well, not my favorite, but like something I really like about Hen Begins is like the part where she's talking to Eva, and Eva's kind of like more dismissive of her like wanting to make this career change. But I love like the whole like thing about this boys club being mentioned, and like Hen being like, Hen has like this really just like iconic line, because like Eva's like, you really want to be the black lesbian in the firehouse, and Hen's just like, you act like I'm gonna march in there with a rainbow flag. And I'm just like, I love that line. Like,
that's so Hen.
Yeah,
like I'm not sure the firehouse like truly knows for sure that she's lesbian until like her big speech to them, but also I don't think she's necessarily hiding it either,
right?
Yeah, like not completely. Well, because my thought is Chim Begins was in like around 2005, so it has to be Hen Begins has to be at least a couple years after that. Mm-hmm. So, like, I kind of understand it in that sense, too.
Yeah, and this episode also reminded me why I hated Captain Gerard so much. I hate that guy.
I just want to punch him a lot.
He's sexist. He's, like, flat out says that she's their diversity hire. Which everyone kind of looked at Chim, because technically he's, quote unquote, you know, diverse, too. And I'm like, you guys really got to stop. And, you know, nowadays, I don't think these episodes would have gone over so well if they'd aired now. Just saying.
I agree with that.
Like, in the current situation.
I don't know, because, like, A, they are still airing well after they're technically set. Like, the 911 was started in 2018. I don't know. I definitely agree a little bit. And there's a lot of online discourse about different things that happen in the episodes. It's... Mm-hmm. There's always going to be discourse about something. I do think it's very interesting, because each of the Begins has like a different impact to me. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, Hen Begins might be like the most difficult one to watch, because you're dealing with so many different things happening. You're dealing with the sexism, you're dealing with the homophobia, mm-hmm. with the racism,
yeah,
all of which play a significant mm-hmm. part. Probably homophobia a little bit less, because she could play straight if she wanted to,
mm-hmm.
but she cannot hide the fact that she is Black or a woman,
right?
And so she's already Gerard is he's an
asshole.
He is.
Well, and I think he even says something about the women's locker rooms down there will clean it out if you last more than a week or something like that. And I'm like, oh, well, dude.
Yeah, like it wasn't even like a locker room. It was like a see-through room. They just had like a ping pong table or whatever it was in there. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like,
with a sign taped over saying women.
Yeah, it literally, I don't even. Yeah, it literally said woman.
And so we kind of start to see the dynamic of the 118. So we've got Captain Gerard, we have Tommy, we have Sal, and we have Chim. Mm-hmm. And now we have Hen joining them. And then there's this scene where they're sitting around the table, which I forgot about the Twilight reference here, but Tommy's asking what Sal did the night before. And Sal is talking about his girlfriend drags him to that vampire movie. And Tommy goes, Twilight, seriously, that's what you did with your day off? And Sal starts talking about how he's smitten with Kristen Stewart. And Hen makes a comment about how she really likes her too. And then Tommy's like, he doesn't get it, because there was a comment about him. And he's like, I don't get it. He says she's too brooding for him.
Listen, I made there was this post. I made this point before that he freaking says she's too dark and brooding for me, and then proceeds to date Mr. Golden Retriever Energy and Sunshine Personified.
Yeah. Right? I'm
like, double whammy. She's a woman, and also she was too dark and brooding.
Yeah. So this is our first like introduction to Tommy. And then Sal's like, you know, what, she's too hot? And then maybe you're more of a Team Jacob kind of guy. And Tommy's like, I don't even know what that means. And Chim's like, he's insinuating you're gay. And Tommy starts making kissy faces at Sal, which
that was so funny. Right. And like, it's just, I don't even know. Like, it just hits differently knowing obviously that Tommy is gay. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, like I think like after we got the Buck Tommy kiss, there were so many videos online of this scene, mm-hmm. and like there was so much like just comments about it, and I don't even know what to say about it, but I do love it. And I don't know, it's just the Twilight reference is funny, and it kind of says mm-hmm. like this has got to be like about 2008-2009, like, because Twilight dated. Came out in 2008.
Yeah, it dated it
for sure.
Yeah, like it just brings me back just a little bit.
Yeah.
Now there is like at this point in time there is some, I'm going to bring up like a couple things we've seen so far, because you know we're looking over the Begins episodes, but we're looking over them particularly for Tommy. Because, you know, we just got reintroduced for him. And so if we go back to when Hen first goes into the firehouse and Gerard says that she's our new diversity hire, if you're looking at the scene, it's very interesting because, and I've done so many deep metas and analysis about this, that's why I'm ready to go on this one. So the reason Gerard said that was because Tommy came up to the railing and was like, oh, who's this? Like, he was kind of open, like, smiling, curious about Hen, and then Gerard says, oh, she's our new diversity hire. And if you watch it, Tommy's face just falls. Like, not to like he's upset, but like he's suddenly like very unsure. He's looking kind of back and forth between Hen and Gerard.
Right.
He's clearly, if that says anything about what kind of environment the 118 was, and right. also Tommy's hiding, even if he acknowledges it himself.
Which even in 705, he does mention to Buck that, you know, when he was at the 118, it was not the 118 Buck is familiar with.
Exactly.
It was a good old boys club, and they were, well, Captain Gerard was
dick. Yeah.
And then this is, I believe there are two instances that I can recall off the top of my head of Sal joking about Tommy being gay. And it's not the only time it's insinuated, which is very interesting. Like, just in the overall scheme, it's not the first time it's insinuated, which is very interesting, considering that they didn't have a plan for Tommy beyond these episodes.
Yeah.
But in this particular one with the Twilight scene, we have like the whole like kissy faces at Sal kind of deal. But then almost immediately afterwards, he lashes out, like just temper wise, I think right. at him. And it's because like, you know, not necessarily excusing that, but he's defensive. He's on his guard after that because someone mm-hmm. struck a little close to home. It's right? interesting that it with like the knowledge we have now.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, not even if it wasn't necessarily great actions, there are some reasons behind what's happening. So yeah, that's my analysis up till now.
Katie, any other thoughts?
No, honestly, like, I don't know. Like, it is interesting and I agree with all that. And, you know, makes a comment like, oh, I really like Kristen Stewart. So like that's put out there.
Yeah. So she's not hiding.
Like she didn't flat out at this point say like, oh, I'm a lesbian. But right. like at this point is put out whether if anybody reads into it or not.
So then we get this scene where Hennis goes with the guys and it's a mudslide. The mountain literally comes down on this house and there's this mom who's having trouble breathing and they're able to get the daughter out, but then they can't get the mom out. And then they're trying to figure out and Ken has this idea to go get the hose and use the water to kind of wash away some of the mud. Cause she was stuck really bad. And this is where we get Hen meeting Athena for the first time. Which, because she's obviously struggling with this whole, like, the guys and Gerard and his mentality. And Athena's like, I wish I could tell you that it gets better, but, you know, it's not gonna. And so she gives Hen her number, says, call her. I love that.
That's why meeting. I love these episodes, because we're getting, like, the relationships, the friendships, and, like, that stuff, like, not even just with Hen and Athena, like, but, like, obviously, Chim and Hen, we're getting that in this episode. Yeah. And like it's just cool to see like where mm-hmm. like Hen and Nina like started in their friendship. I love looking back at that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. You know, and the captain obviously blames Hen for, you know, her lack of doing what he said and says that basically blames Hen for the mom dying because she's gonna be DOA.
Because like if she had died on the scene, like it would have been one thing, but for them to have to load her into an ambulance with the daughter and then the daughter having to witness her die either in the ambulance
or
at the hospital.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Like, yeah, she would have seen her, like, her either in a body bag, whether if she was died, like, there at the house or not.
Yeah, he was a right old bastard about.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously there's some issues. So we go back to the station and we have Chim and Hen having a conversation. And she's like, you know, it's not the first time she's been treated this way on a job, but this is the first time it's a job she actually cares about. And Chim's like, yeah, I understand. And Hen's like, no, I don't really think you do. And he's like, oh, do you think they're inviting the Asian guy to their houses for barbecues or out for beers? And like, it's a big difference between being invisible and being a threat to their way of life. And yes, you're a minority too, but you're still a man, which is not wrong.
Yeah.
She's like, you benefit from a system that keeps women that like look like me down. He's like, do you always make friends this easily? He's trying to be friends with her.
Well, yeah, because like we don't get the context of Chim Begins yet, but like he knows what it feels like to be like singled mm-hmm. out and to like not be let to do the job that he's wanted to do.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in Chim's, like, it did show in a different way, mm-hmm. and we'll examine that in Chimney Begins. They both got ousted, like, they got excluded in very different ways, but also very similar ways, so he is trying to be, at this point, was the only, like, friendly face to her, because he didn't have anyone doing that for a couple of months originally.
Yeah. So, you know, Captain kind of pulls Chim away from talking to Hen, and Chim advises Hen to not take on this by herself. So Hen calls Athena, which is yay. She gets to go out and hang out with Athena. And I love how Hen was like, oh, I didn't realize this was a support group. So we're introduced to Casey from the 115, who is a firefighter who's gay. And we meet Beth Ann, who works out at Rampart. She's a cop, which obviously both of them in those lines of work. It's, you know, Athena is going to be familiar with them. You know, they kind of talk about getting together once a month and swapping more stories. And the, you know, Athena gives her advice about how to deal with it. And I loved it. I loved that we get this chance to see their kind of beginning friendship blossoming. We definitely got quite a bit of it in season one. The handcuff scene, some of that other stuff is like as their relationship has gotten closer, yeah. And over the seasons, but to see like how it started is really cool. And then like I remember when I was watching Hen Begins and I texted you guys, I was like, I totally forgot about Casey.
I know.
I did too, honestly. I forgot until I watched it again. I was like, hey, and this is the only time we ever see him, but like,
right.
I hope you're doing well, bro.
I know. I just love when we were talking about it. I forget who it was like, oh, I wonder if Tommy knows about him. And I'm like, just because he's gay doesn't mean he knows everyone. But then it reminded me, like, I can just imagine Bog being like, do you know, like, so and so? And Tommy's like, just because I'm gay doesn't mean I know everybody.
Right.
So I do love the idea that there's just like a queer firefighter support group where they're all there to sit there and go,
right,
what the actual heck?
I saw a video like a couple of years ago where somebody said they worked at the firehouse and like pretty much I can't remember like context wise, but I'm pretty sure like all of them were queer, and I was like, I love that.
Yeah. Sounds about right, actually.
Well, and I even thinking about it too, like I know Oliver's already gotten some pretty positive responses from some firefighters, like real firefighters who have reached out to him and said, you know, because of Buck's storyline, they felt more confident about coming out to their firehouse or to their crew. Or, and I'm like, you know, that's powerful. And I know that Oliver is very humbled by that too. So, in this, we get Hen. The next day, she decides to like call him out, and so she calls everybody over. She's honking the horn on the fire truck, and everybody comes down. They're like, what the heck's going on? And she's, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's long, but it's basically she's saying, I see you for who you are. But she's like, you know, what do you guys see? A woman, a firefighter, a Black woman, a lesbian. She's like, good, because I'm all of those things. She's like, I don't want you to love me, but I'm here and I'm not going anywhere.
But
she's
slay.
Like, I was like, go ahead.
Yeah, good for her.
Yes, dude. You know, obviously, I think some of the guys were all like ready to kind of cheer her on because she's like not letting the captain get her down.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone was listening. Not a single person stepped in to try and shut her up.
Right.
And like analyzing body language in this scene, like a lot of people are just, you know, Sal's got his hands on his hips, but he's listening. Chimney, the captain, basically everyone else has their arms crossed. And Tommy is hugging himself. Because if you look, his arms aren't crossed like the rest of them. He's got them pulled in like a very particular way. So him as a closeted gay man, listening to this, I don't know.
It does. And thinking about even what he said to Buck about how he was not out when he was at the 118 and he was still figuring things out. But then when he went to the harbor, that's when he started to realize he couldn't hide himself anymore. So I'm like, wow, like now I like hearing what she's saying and knowing what's coming later.
Mm-hmm.
That's big.
Well, this makes me wonder. I'm like, you know, and it's not necessarily a like deal breaker or whatever for me, but I would love if we eventually got a scene with them talking canonically.
Yeah.
And because personally, I feel like him listening to this probably made him start confronting some things for himself.
Possibly.
And maybe that did, like, maybe he never felt like he could come out in the 118, but maybe that did encourage him when he eventually moved to just start on a plate.
So obviously the captain is, you know, like slow claps. But before anybody can really respond, they get called to a car accident. They're looking, they're trying to treat the patients. And then Hen thinks there's a second car, but the captain orders her to not go look for it because he doesn't think they're going to be one. And she doesn't listen to him. So Chim also follows along with her. They end up finding a man and a boy drown in a car. And they end up, you know, Hen's crying, Chim's crying, and they're trying to save this little boy. They end up doing it, which is awesome. And Sal and Tommy both kind of afterward tell Hen that they would have done a sweep afterwards, but it would have been too late. So they were glad she, you know, kind of giving her a good job. She's got good instincts. She has since the beginning, and they're acknowledging that, which is awesome.
Yeah.
It's a start, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It will take it, you know?
Yeah.
Cause you know, it did not, this is of course like the least they could have done kind of deal, but it is still like, it is both of them kind of swallowing their pride, which is difficult to do, and stepping up and being like, well, like you did this, you were the reason that this was a success, which is, you know, It means a lot.
So then Hen is coming into the firehouse after everything had happened, and I'm thinking she's a little nervous. And Chim tells her that, you know, the captain wants to see her in his office. She's like, well, it's been nice working with him. And when she goes into the office, it's actually the captain and the head of his boss, basically, and says he's received a lot of complaints about Captain Gerard. And Hen's like, yeah, but not for me. I haven't done it. He's like, yeah, no, we've been getting them from your coworkers. And they have a lot of nice things to say about her and not a lot of nice things to say about Captain Gerard. And so she thought she was getting fired, but it's actually the other way around. Captain Gerard has been fired, and she's introduced to the new captain, and it's like he's very supportive, and he's like, I'm glad to have you here. And she welcomes him to the 118. I was like, okay, this is kind of the start of the new 118.
Yeah, slowly shifting.
Yep. And then when she walks out of
the door,
and then when Hen walks out the door, she sees Chim. She's like, you set me up. He totally knew this was gonna happen. He goes yeah,
of course,
that's payback for making it hard to be friends with her.
Here we have the birth of a beautiful friendship.
Yes, and she thanks him for sticking it out with her. Then they get a call, and it's the start of a new 118, which is awesome. So that is the end of Hen Begins. We got some good monologues throughout the episode, and just again, seeing kind of where it started. Chim Begins. So Chim Begins is episode 12 of season 2. End of season 3 is when he's stabbed by Doug, who at the time he thinks is Jason. And so at the very beginning and at the very end of Chim Begins, we get kind of the flashes of him laying on the ground, bleeding, kind of right before Buck finds him. And we see Chim, this is 2005, I believe.
Yes.
And he's trying to throw out some different ideas, kind of like a mini version of Shark Tank, where he's like, oh, these inventions that could come up. And this lady's like, yeah, I don't have a way of giving you a bank loan for that.
Yeah, it was like all things that were like, he would obviously come up with an idea every year, and I feel like these ideas were just like, oh, that's already been done, but they don't flat out say that. And I just love him, like, just so enthusiastically being like, oh, so we'll do this again next year. And the lady is like just so not amused with him. Right. Like, please don't ever come back. Then he doesn't come back, obviously, you know.
So then we get some introductions to Chim helping Kevin. They're at the bar. They're kind of trying to figure out what their calling is. And then one of them, the bartender, drinks shots, and then they light him on fire. He's not smart at all. And then
I watched this and I wanted to cry.
Yeah. And it kind of gives Chim a taste of being a firefighter, and because it causes a fire, and a woman gets caught on fire, and so Chim rushes to save her, and everyone's cheering, and it makes him kind of proud of himself, and he feels like he did something right. So it kind of gives him that spark that, like, oh, maybe I could do this. So then we see Chim and Kevin with the Lees, his parents, you know, Kevin telling him about how Chim saved the woman. And I know he mentions joining the LAFD, deciding to do that. And I think Kevin also got the idea to do it, which, as we know from being fans of the show and having watched it, what happens. Kevin applies. They both go through school together, training. They end up at different houses, Chim at the 118, Kevin at the 133. And on his first day on the job, and he shows up, and the Captain Gerard is like, Eli, did you forget to tip the delivery guy?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was like, Tommy who said that, actually.
Was it Tommy?
Tommy was the one who said that. Because I watched Chim Begins a couple of times. And so. Oh,
okay.
It was actually right. Tommy who said that line.
Yeah, I missed it.
Fine.
And asking Eli if he did that. Okay, anyways. So I like, here we kind of get suddenly that it's not that he's a man, it's that he's a little Asian guy. He's short. So again, you know, from Hen Begins is not surprising. You know, obviously there are reasons why they were in the order they were in. But when the bells go off and Chim's thinking he's going to go out on the call, he gets told to stay behind to clean. And this kind of goes on for a while because he really wants to do the job. He's there to do the job, but there's quite a few calls that he doesn't get to go on. And which is tough for him because at dinners with the Lees, Kevin is talking about all the experiences he's having, and Chim's just like sitting, wow, that must be nice, because he's not getting left behind at his station like Chim is. But while Chim is, you know, at the station by himself, a car shows up and her husband's having a heart attack, and Chim, you know, rushes to help, which is awesome to see him kind of take over. You know, and I love like seeing the little montage of him, like, you know, training to put his gear on and timing himself and testing himself on different things on flashcards. So he's obviously trying to be the best that he can be, which is obviously going to help him in the long run, even though the captain is not giving him an opportunity to be a firefighter right now. And then we have another kind of meal scene where the captain asks if Tommy's girlfriend is going to cook for them. Mm-hmm. And Tommy, you can definitely hear him not be thrilled.
Yeah, because
he's lying through his teeth.
Yeah, because like we don't really see like his expressions, but I'm sure if we did, we would get so much more from this scene. Because this is when they're walking up the stairs to go to the kitchen, so we only hear audibly what Tommy's saying, and he is like totally like you know, like Grace said, lying through his teeth. Like he is just like trying to convince himself, and I have so many questions about this scene. Obviously, us getting it, like you know. Mm-hmm. You know, six seasons later, or five seasons later, and like they like, I feel like honestly they set things up with it, even if they didn't intentionally choose to revisit, because like there is no way you can unsee like this stuff, because it's just like, did Tommy actually have a girlfriend, or was he just telling them he did? Like
I'm convinced he was lying.
I am too.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's because maybe he did briefly have one and that quickly fell through for reasons. Gee, I wonder why. And he was just gonna carry on lying. Cause also like Gerard was being also super pushy about it, being like, yo, when's your girlfriend gonna come cook for us kind of deal? And Tommy's like, next Tuesday, and then he's like, oh, she better. And it's like, okay, sir, why are you being so pushy about that? But it's also I really do wonder if, even though they never planned to bring Tommy back, if they were still like intentionally implying something here, because I'm like, it lines up so well. It lines up too well.
So I feel like that definitely is obviously, you know, it's foreshadowing. But again, in season two, when Tommy was there in these flashback episodes, nobody knew that he was coming back again. So now, as we've talked about already, you know, looking back makes sense. And this is very much in that time of him kind of questioning himself and wondering. Obviously, this is before we meet Hen. And, you know, Chim tries to make friends with Tommy. And he basically says he's not interested. And Tommy's just really more closed off. This is obviously before Hen begins. We can obviously tell he has a relationship with Sal, which probably because they might have gone to firefighter training together or something, and then got put at the 118 or something.
Sal's not even in Chim Begins, I'd like to point out. Like, Sal's not even shown in Chim Begins. He only comes up in Hen Begins and Bobby Begins Again. However, because of the way he's shown in like Hen Begins and Chim Begins, I think it's simply they didn't put him in Chim Begins. But he was technically there.
Right. I feel.
It's really the only people they showed were Tommy and Gerard and Eli.
Well, and Eli wasn't in Hen Begins. So I'm thinking is that Sal took Eli's place when Eli left, because we know obviously from a few seasons later Eli was in Boston when Chim went to find Maddie.
I still forgot, like when I went to watch Chim Begins, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about Eli.
Oh yeah, I completely forgot about Eli too. But
Mac Brandt is an awesome actor. I love him as an actor.
Like he was the best in the 90s.
It was
Mac. PJ and I could talk about that forever.
We could. We're talking about Tommy today, so so obviously we see Tommy is really kind of being closed off and not really wanting to, you know, make friends with Chim. And then Eli comes to Chim and tells him that he's with him today and he'd already cleared him with the captain, and Chim's like, but I'm not a paramedic. And Eli's like, well, you're not much of a firefighter either, but you can stay here and play butler, you know. And Chim's like, no, put me in coach, I'm ready to play.
I love that, because it's like we pretty much get mostly like paramedic Chim, so I love that this is like the start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, Eli was definitely the first one to really open up and accept him, much like Chim was for Hen. And
it did take a lot longer.
Yeah. You know, and we get to see Chim being learning, being a paramedic, which is awesome. He's finally giving some opportunities. And then we get the structure fire where Chim is getting going with them. And it ends up being the 133 as well as the 118 is there. 118, where Chim is at. The 133 is where Kevin is at. They're both on the roof. They see each other. They get to talk. And then this, all of a sudden, this, while they're walking across carefully to make sure there's no spots where fire's going to break through and trying to be careful so they don't get hurt. This woman comes out of the stairwell and Kevin runs to push the woman out of the way and ends up falling through the roof. Unfortunately, you know, obviously we know he passes away. Mm-hmm. So we see kind of the montage of the funeral procession and burying Kevin, and you know, obviously Chim feels really sorry, and he apologizes to the Lees because he feels like it's his fault. Seeing Chim ring the bell for Kevin was pretty tough. You know, and even funerals get me every time, but you know, even thinking of like when Gabriel was killed and hearing the shots and seeing Carlos just bawling his eyes out, it's just really tough.
Yeah, it's so tough.
And the flag being given to Mrs. Lee here, it's interesting because watching the funeral again, I agree, EJ, it's really hard to watch funerals like this, and listening to the montage over it was heartbreaking. And it's interesting because I think just like the staging of the scene was very interesting. And again, I last watched these like very much with a Tommy focused mindset. What's interesting because Tommy is like on the outlier. But yeah, like, so I find it interesting because Tommy's like very much in the background of the shots for these. Mm-hmm. And you see Tommy and Eli. And even like when they were originally heading to the fire, like Tommy's glancing over Chim a lot, like kind of because Chim was like breathing really harshly and like prepping himself to go to this and everything. It's like, I don't know, I feel like it's just a very interesting study just in body language and how Lou Ferrigno Jr. played Tommy, even when he didn't have the lines. So,
right,
I don't know, watching it and just like watching the body language in particular is like something else beyond just watching or listening to the words being said.
You know, and I'm amazed, and it's rare, but it happens where like a guest star in one season might be brought back because like the cast really loved them or the directors really love the character. So there's always reasons why somebody can come back, and I'm happy Tommy was the one they chose. I think he's had a really big growth, obviously, through the series, from season two, what we learned of him, and then, you know, now, and, you know, but especially with this, like, and Chim going back to work, and Eli was being surprised he's even back, and Chim's like, I didn't have anywhere else to go. That was
heartbreaking.
Yeah. Again, we get this very closed off Tommy. We're not getting, like, a friendly, like, I'm sorry for your, you know, brother. Because Kevin was his brother for as far as he was concerned. So then we go to the structure collapse. Chim is there with Eli, and he's constantly hearing of people complaining of headaches from this, you know, and he's like, it's kind of weird because as far as they knew, there was no gas leak, but Chim's like, I think it's gas. And so they're starting to, like, the guys are like, the captain's kind of like, it's fine. You know, he just kind of was like, didn't really want to deal with it.
He completely blew it off.
Yeah. And, you know, and even Eli was like, yeah, I think there, you know, something to this. And then they're like, where's Tommy? Because Tommy hadn't come back out yet. And then all of a sudden,
and the partner he was with wasn't, he didn't even realize Tommy wasn't behind him.
He's like, oh, yeah. It's like, what the hell? They have a buddy system for a reason.
Because that guy wasn't even, like, walking out of the building at that time. That man had been sitting there for a solid minute. You're telling me he did not realize that Tommy was not right behind him?
Right.
Like,
Yeah, so Chim grabs his gear and basically runs into the building. Or, no, he didn't grab his gear. He just ran into the building. Ends up saving Tommy just as the building goes up in flames. Which, that was pretty intense, like, and it was his chance to prove himself as a firefighter,
but also prove himself to himself
that he could do the job.
Because also and... he had just gone over losing, well, not even gone over, he had just lost Kevin. And he hadn't been able to save Kevin then.
Right.
So it was, you see the montage, there's a line of footage about like when he's sitting in the hospital waiting for news on Tommy about him going back and forth between present day him being stabbed and Kevin falling. It's heart-wrenching.
That it took me a second to figure it out. I was like, oh my god. And then I realized, like, oh, this is like present day, like past memories, flashbacks, flash forwards. It was very intense because we get him and he's sitting at the hospital and one second he's got blood all over him and the next second he's like fine. And then I think they did a really good job of just directing that get that to happen. And then obviously we have Eli coming in and talking to Chim, and Chim is sitting at the hospital and he's not really going back to talk to Tommy, but he's just there, which shows his dedication to his brothers at the firehouse, no matter how crappy they treat him.
And like the first thing he asks is, how's Tommy? And Eli's like, he's resting. And for a man that, you know, inhaled gas and got carried out of a burning building, he looks a lot better than you do.
Right. And then, you know, Eli's like, you know what? You need to go home, you know, and remember, you know, you can't save everyone, because he's still struggling. And, you know, then we see him moving into his new apartment, which is the same one he has in the series, for most of the series. And then he's visited by Mrs. Lee. And she tells him basically that, you know, she knows that he didn't get Kevin killed because she never saw him happier. She says his mother and Kevin are watching over him and that they're proud of him, to Chim, because, you know, I think he was definitely doubting and feeling like the blame of he's the one that encouraged Kevin to go through the fire stuff too.
Well,
I know Kevin wanted to, but
My thing with that is, like, you know, that was something that Chim wanted to do after like everything that happened, and like Chim was like the role model for Kevin, so like I feel like Chim doing this and Kevin's like, yeah, I think I want to do that.
Yeah.
And that's like how he jumped into it too.
And there's definitely the guilt that he's feeling with that. Like, Kevin was an adult who made the decision for himself.
Right.
But it is still a burden to bear.
Right.
Because even, you know, earlier in the episode, we had Chim being all like, oh, this is all about like saving people and this is a heroic job. And Eli was like, well, if that's how you feel about it, I'm really sorry for the lesson you're going to have to learn. Yeah. And his lesson was Kevin. Yeah. And I feel bad that he had to learn it so quickly. Yeah. But he had to.
That's losing Kevin that way reminds me of how character, I can't remember his name, but it's in the movie Ladder 49. Mm. It's him and his brother. The main character and his brother played by Billy Burke, who we know as Billy Tyson in Lone Star. Burke, his character, they're on the roof they're cutting holes in the roof, and he ends up, Billy Burke's character falls through the roof and dies. So the main character, can't remember if they were brothers or just best friends, because they were in different firehouses, or no, they were in the same firehouse. Anyways, it just reminds me, it's the connections of like the different fire shows.
Well, even in Hen Begins, there's a reference to Rampart, which is a flashback to the old show called Emergency.
Yep.
Which I grew up watching that show and I adore it. So I listened to that and I went,
Right. So after we get this stuff with them and Mrs. Lee, Tommy is at the station and Chim's getting ready, and Tommy comes into the locker room and he says, Love Actually, Monster Trucks, and Craft Beer. And yeah, this is his way of opening up to Chim. And
Chim wanted to like get to know him earlier. He's right. Like, please tell me what you're into, like what do you like to do in your free time, like I'll make that something that I want,
right?
Like,
yeah,
my interest.
What sports do you
desperately
like?
Wanted to be friends with him.
He did. And you know, Eli definitely explained to him, you know, because you know, you saw Chim and Eli talking briefly in the ambulance while I believe there's somebody and Tommy were playing on one of the tables. And, you know, Eli's like, you know, it's hard for them to open up about, you know, to get to know people, this is a tough line of work. You don't know if your brother's going to be there tomorrow, so it's hard to open up. And so this kind of gives Tommy the kick in the pants that he needs to change his ways a little. And he thanks Chim for saving him. And just at that moment, the woman that he saved, that Kevin pushed out of the way, also shows up with the baby that she now has had. And she says the name is Adam, but he needs a middle name. And Chim says, well, his name's Howard. And she's not amused with that name at all. And then Chim's like, actually, I think he looks like it, Kevin. Yeah. And Tommy you see Tommy and Eli kind of onto the side. And you see Tommy says, paramedic, huh? And Eli's like, yeah, damn good one. Which was kind of the end of that episode. And then, you know, just kind of to put together where we're at the end of this episode, is when we kind of get Chim's found by Buck. And then in 213 is when Maddie and Chim's storyline with Doug is kind of resolved, obviously by him kidnapping Maddie, Maddie killing him. This is also where Buck is told by Eddie that he's in hospital jail. And Bobby warns Buck not to, you know, make Athena do anything that was going to cause her to force her into early retirement. And then in 214, there's a mention briefly while Chim is recovering from surgery and all the stabbing. The 118, he's helping them. He calls a friend from a former friend from the 118. And now we all kind of have this idea that it's probably Tommy. But we don't.
No, he says it's Tommy. Hey, Tommy. It's me, Howie. Yeah. Are you still at the 217?
He calls in a favor. This is when Eddie and the kid are in the burning house and they can't get help and more help because the water lines are out and things like that. So that's kind of where we're at.
With this, before we move into Bobby Begins Again, because I think we see a slightly different Tommy in the Bobby Begins Again because we don't have guard anymore. I had it pointed out to me, and I've seen this across that, because people, you know, there's a lot of speculation about who Tommy was at this point in time and what he was dealing with. I've had it pointed out to me before that, because especially with Chim trying to be friends with Tommy and Tommy kind of rejecting it. First of all, like, in my reading of the situation, Tommy didn't reject it in a, like, angry way or in a very, an offensive way. To me, he looked spooked.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. To me, I always read it as he was a little spooked. Like, he kind of looked, a little wild around the eyes. It never read as something that was hugely personal to Chim. Mm-hmm. And I wonder about this. And when someone pointed out to me, it's because Chim was an other. Like, he was an other. He was the Asian guy. He was the new guy. And Tommy was hiding that he was also an other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because, again, Chim happens before Hen does.
Yeah.
When Chim arrived and he was the only, and he was like openly and in the other category, I think Tommy was afraid of being also like around him because he was so deep in hiding himself. I don't think we see that quite as much with Hen because by that point he and Tommy are more friends. But again, it comes, you know, he was still hiding being gay, and then there's this openly gay fighter. So I think basically with both Chim and Hen, both of them made him face himself in ways he didn't like and wasn't prepared to. And the reason I mention that now is because we see him be a little bit more settled with himself. And Bobby, he's not out, not at all, but he is friends with both Chim and Han, and we see him in slightly more of a friendly light. So that's why I wanted to bring that up now, is just like, not necessarily saying like all of his words and his actions were fully like justified and great, but it is, I think there's a lot more of an explanation beyond just, you know, being an asshole than there is for like for Sal and Captain Gerard.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, definitely if you do watch back, you could watch Chim Begins first and you see the really harsh Tommy. Then you see him lightening up just a hair in Hen Begins. And then, in Bobby Begins, we definitely get a more comfortable. One of my favorite scenes with Tommy is in this one so far, is in Bobby Begins.
Same.
But so we get Bobby, you know, Bobby Begins is a few episodes after this, you know, the context is during the investigation through the Ocean's 118 episode, which I believe is the previous one. It's there's some holes that the LAFD find in Bobby's file. So Bobby is basically called in for a interview with the department because he didn't disclose what happened in Minnesota because his former captain or whoever had helped him get a job in LA basically slid that under the rug and kind of hid it in hopes that would help Bobby get out of Minnesota. So then we see it's 2014. There's a fire. It's the fire at the apartment, the one that we know all the... It's because of the drinking, and he had this like stash house, and he'd go to this apartment that he was supposedly remodeling, and so heater was left on, there's a fire. He once he gets down to the ground level, he's trying to talk to an EMT about going back in for his family. They don't let him. His wife is brought out on a stretcher. She's burned up really bad. When he rushes to her side, he sees a firefighter he knows, Phil tells Bobby to go with Marcy. Bobby asks about his kids, but before he can really get an answer, the kids are brought out and laid down in the deceased pile of bodies, unfortunately. And, you know, obviously we see Bobby, we know the storyline. So at the hospital, his wife wakes up. She's obviously in a lot of pain because of the burns, basically most of her body. She asks to see, you know, asks about the kids, and Bobby just tells her he's fine. Obviously she passes away pretty quickly. Then we get some flashbacks to their storyline. And then with the struggle that him and his wife were having, he's obviously dealing and struggling with what happened afterwards, because 147 people died in the fire, 148. Obviously he's very frustrated because of all of them that died, he wished he kind of could have been one of them that died, but they kind of protect him. And his fire chief captain visits him in the hospital, and he's like, am I fired? And the chief's like, yeah, for what, being an alcoholic? Pick any day and I'll point you to somebody at a church in a church basement, you know, with the familiar face, you know. So it's common, you know. It can be a very dangerous and a very stressful job, and a lot of people treat it with alcohol, which sucks, but
which even Eli mentions in Chim Begins as well,
mm-hmm.
in one of his montages as well. Yeah. And so,
yeah. And so his friend, which is this chaplain chief, you know, they cleared me. He's like, I didn't want them to clear me to go back to work. You know, because of, you know, he confessed because 148 people died. And they're like, yeah, you were drunk and high, left a space heater hot unattended, overheated. Then the circuit breaker didn't trip, which caused, you know, other issues. There was no water in the sprinkler system. And there's a lot of other issues with the building that Bobby had no control over.
And the fire could have been a lot less bad if it had just
heater. Right. Yeah. So, you know, obviously Bobby's trying to punish himself, and, you know, he's told basically, you know, you want to be punished, you know, your punishment is that you lived. Now make it worth a damn. So Bobby goes to a meeting. We see him getting clean. He's 6 months clean. He wants to go back to work, but nobody in Minnesota wants to take him. And he's got this balance book of 148 names. And, you know, with his issues, they decide to transfer him. So he ends up in LA. And we see Hen walking around the 118 taking bets on how long he's going to last, because they all know he's coming from Minnesota.
Well, not even that. They had so many people coming to be captain, and they scared them all off.
Right?
I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Like what did you guys do?
It's like kids when a substitute teacher is there.
Like, did they like swap the sugar and the salt around? Did they mess up his paperwork? Like, what were these medicines doing? I really want to know what they were doing. So yeah, she's taking bets from Tommy, from Sal,
from Chim. And Chim's hesitant too, because he's like, I don't know, you like give the guy a chance. And then Bobby like they're all standing around the fire truck, and then Bobby like jumps out of the fire truck, and he's like, he takes his own bed. He's like, I say that I last longer than any one of you guys.
I could I see like, that.
Oh yeah, go Bobby.
If Bobby so, ever retires, I need them to be like, and we'll take the money because you didn't last longer than all of us.
Yeah, and then it's like a lot more.
Yeah, and then it's like,
yeah. So then we get some kind of random calls, typical calls for LA, but definitely Bobby's out of those elements. And some of them, he's trying to read a map of LA, and he's like, who designed these who designed this road layout? You know, it's like, because he's used to different, you're like,
first call you see is a guy stuck up in a palm tree. Yeah, I'm like, honey,
obviously not to something, LA, baby.
Right. Yeah. This is coming up to my favorite scene. So they get this call, and it's this guy's been stabbed. And so they show up. This guy's got multiple contusions. They're not really sure what stabbed him. Oh, and then God. I think that it was a cockfighting ring. So this guy's got this chicken, and he's got little knives on his feet. And so Sal and Tommy and Bobby and Hen and Chim are all trying to like catch this chicken, and like they kind of were corralling it, and then like, but Bobby's just kind of standing back walking, and there's this scene where like Tommy's like standing there kind of looking at the chicken, and then they're like, what are you gonna do, Tommy? Kiss it.
And then he's
like jumping out of the way as it gets close to
him. Like this man did not grow up on a farm. This man has never been around a chicken in his life. And right? Let me tell you, as someone who grew up on the farm and is used to roosters, when you get an angry rooster,
right?
Never mind that he has knives attached to his talons right now.
Like, right?
But it's so funny because Tommy does some of the funniest little movements and shimmies. And when Sal makes, because this is the other comment he makes, or one of the other comments he makes, where she's like, what the hell? When Sal's like, what are you going to do? Kiss it? And Tommy just throws up his arms and all, well, what do you expect me to do about
it? Right? What is, like, so that was a really good, that was kind of my funny, like, I love that. Lou did a really good scene, I'm just saying. And then you can kind of see Bobby kind of snickering behind him because, you know, obviously this is now something he's dealt with growing up in Minnesota. So he gently is able to like, well, the guys get him kind of coaxed and the chicken's up on a piece of wood or something. Bobby gently kind of goes behind him and wraps the chicken up in a blanket. Ow. And then all of a sudden, like as they're getting ready to walk out, Bobby still has the chicken in his arms, and he's like, he's now been disarmed because he's taken the little knives off. And so Athena shows up. So this is the first time Bobby meets Athena. And it's she's like, I've got, you know, heard about a stabbing victim, and I heard that you guys have the assailant in custody. Bobby's like, yep, here you go. And he's been disarmed. she's like, no.
So the first time that Bobby meets Athena, he gave her a courting gift in form of a chicken.
We love it.
I love it. I was like, I totally forgot it was the first time she'd met him.
It's very funny because everyone's kind of looking, like, especially, like, Tommy, who's right off to, like, Bobby's, like, right, is just looking very meek after that, you know? None of them were able to grab the chicken.
Yeah.
There is an art to catching chickens.
It is, yeah. And it's hard. You gotta be smarter than the chicken, but yeah.
Which is not that hard, but they're fast.
Mm-hmm. So then we see Bobby at church. He has relapsed. It would have been about a year since he's clean. But he mentions there's not enough candles in the church for all the people that he's hurt because of the fire. Because I feel like Bobby's mentality is, I'm going to save this many people. And then I'm going to, you know, we know his plan was to commit suicide after he saved all these people to right his wrongs. It doesn't work like that, but when you're going through it, you can think about it. So then we get this restaurant fire that what we think is just your standard fire. The family, the son was in there, the husband and the wife were there. The parents get out, but then the dad runs back in for the kid, who then gets injured. They're trying to get out. Sal ignores a direct order from Bobby, which causes you know, we obviously know Sal's kind of got an authority problem, but we don't realize how bad of one it is until afterwards.
Yeah. We also, somewhere along the lines, I don't remember when we first hear it, we know that Sal had applied for captain and had gotten
captain. Yeah, that's what I was just about to say too. So that's like partially part of it. And I'm like, I can only imagine how he would be as captain, just with how he...
He would be a young juror.
Yeah, that's... He would be like the non-racist one. He would just...
Kind of iffy with him, so I don't know. It's hard to say.
He would have Sal's problems, but it wouldn't necessarily be like as bad as Gerard, I guess, is a good way to put it.
That's fair.
So, you know, we think this is just your typical fire. They do all end up getting out. Back at the station, like when Bobby's trying to talk to Sal after
everybody's
leaving. Oh, really?
Does it? No, I don't actually remember. I thought it happened like towards the end of the episode. No, no, no. It happens now. You're right. I just had to sequence it in my brain. Sorry. Go on.
You're good. And so Bobby calls him out right in front of everybody about it. And Sal's just saying, you know, what are you going to do about it? And
Bobby. He squares up. He tries to go against Bobby, and Tommy and Chim run to grab him.
And Bobby had, you know, wanted to give him another chance, wanted to talk to him in private, but Sal wasn't having it. And Tommy was right behind him. The two guys were getting ready to leave for their shift, from the end of their shift. And Sal literally is just disrespecting Bobby, like full on. And Bobby's like, okay, you can go clean your locker room and you can get out. Because and Bobby totally had plans of just transferring him to another station.
Well, he would have kept him on, but he talked himself into getting fired. True. But, you know, sure Bobby's not that bad. Like, he was like, no, I'll just transfer him after a suspension.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Hen does talk to Bobby after that and says how Sal will have better luck at the 122. Because, you know, obviously everybody's assuming he just was fired.
Right.
He's like, I want to be fair. And so then Hen invites Bobby to drinks the next night, you know, because obviously at this time they don't know about his drinking problem. So Chim, Hen, and Tommy are there. They're talking over drinks. I know. I was like, where did this scene come from? Because I swear it looked like he had the same shirt on when he was dating out on the date with Buck. Anyways.
He kept that same shirt.
they're talking about scars. Or Hen and Tommy are talking about the scars that they have. And you know, Bobby shows his, and then Chim doesn't have one yet.
Just wait, honey. God. It's coming.
And I'm thinking, you'll have a rebar here soon. So Bobby joins them, and they're paying, he's paying for their drinks. They're sharing about their scars. And all of a sudden, Bobby gets this thought, and he's like, I have to go. So he's like, tells them to just keep the tab going or whatever. And so he goes back to the restaurant. And at the same time, Athena's also there, and she catches him because they both have a hunch. And turns out that the hunch ends up being correct, which in a few episodes after this one airs, it all comes to a head again. Anyways, so Bobby also is kind of working on his cooking again. And he's starting a new tradition at the 118 that they work together, they eat together. He's working on his sobriety. He's doing better in LA. He's going to church. He's working. And obviously there's a scene which Tommy is being sent off to the 217, which is the harbor, I believe, station. So it's kind of his like going away party. And then that's, seat that Tommy always sat in was empty at the table next to Bobby. And then all of a sudden, this young kid with blonde hair and blue eyes and a birthmark over his eyes shows up looking for Captain Bobby Nash. And we are introduced to Buck for the first time. And he takes a seat, and it's so cute. Like baby Buck. And I was like, somebody sent a picture. I posted something, and that was a picture of Oliver in season one and Oliver in season seven. And I was like, wow, Oliver's grown up? He has.
And also, like, I don't know, there's just something about, there's something about Tommy leaving the 118 and Buck being his replacement.
Yeah.
And there's also something about Tommy having to leave for the 118 to become a place where he could have been himself, if that makes any sense. And it's like, there's just so much happening here. Like,
I think, and it's funny, I'm kind of going through a similar situation with my former roommate. And, you know, she's been sharing, you know, she's had chronic illnesses for a long time. So people have just assumed she's incapable of doing things. So it's hard for her to be in that area or this area because of that. So she's considering a move to somewhere else where people don't know that about her. So she can kind of start fresh. And I feel like that's with Tommy, what kind of had to happen. I think had he been pulled himself and been more comfortable after some of the drama of the captain leaving and Bobby coming in, he might have been comfortable. But I feel like the only way for him to be comfortable is to go to somewhere else. And I think so it worked out. But yeah, then Buck takes his spot. So to now see that compared to G, you know, they're calling Tommy again for help. And the next thing you know, we've got Buck dating Tommy. And like, wow, look at how much has changed.
It came full circle. And it's something very special. And
it is.
You know.
And so at the beginning of this episode, we had Bobby being interviewed by the LAFD. And then so we get another present day flash of Bobby sitting at the table with the 118 waiting for everybody to come. So they're all kind of corralling around him and they're like, what's going on? And he's not in his uniform. Everybody else is. And he's like, I've been suspended for not disclosing what happened in Minnesota. And Buck's like, what Minnesota? That's old news. Like, yes, it is, you know, but to the department, it's not, because he didn't disclose it. This is years after Minnesota. And I would like to think that, you know, he's proven himself in LA that he's a competent captain. But obviously that had to continue on for the rest of the season storyline, the arc of what happens with the kid, of the dad who was arrested for the restaurant fire, because the father started it because they were going to try and claim the insurance money. But then he was caught, dad was thrown in jail, and then dad died in jail. So we get, and I feel like it's kind of crazy how a call that Tommy was on initially with Bobby comes back to bite them in the butt while Buck is there.
Yeah.
His replacement.
There's so much full circle stuff that happens.
I know, right? Like, I'm like, I know as writers, we don't always remember things like that, but like, that's a big, like, I wonder if even the writers realize what they did there.
I know. Well, there's just so many coincidences. Like, just the fact that, like, Tommy, the name, like, plays such a part in the show. Because, like, Abby's ex was Tommy. And then, like, one of the gay old couple that Buck had, like, this scene with on a call. Like, the one of the husband's name was Thomas.
Like, he learned the meaning of love and what it meant to find love.
You don't find love, you make it.
I love that line so freaking much.
And I love, but I as a Buddy fan, I love that Eddie was there with him when that happened. And his dad was there too, because Bobby was and
it plays a role in everything.
It does, and I love the role that they've given with Bobby and Buck. Like, I don't know who did the casting, but Oliver and Peter could be father and son with the way they look. And was that planned? Because obviously we know Buck's biological parents, and we know that Bobby doesn't have any adult children. So there's obviously never going to be revealed that Bobby's his secret father or something. But I feel like just in their heart, like,
write all the fan fiction.
Bobby is totally Buck's dad. He's taken him under his wing, mentored him, been there for him way more than his dad ever did. And Bobby gets that opportunity to have the child that, you know, and obviously he has May and Harry too now. But at first I love that May even calls tells him that, you know, as Buck's recovering from surgery, that, you know, mom brought two kids into the marriage, you brought one.
I love that. So I love that.
Yeah, so all in all, I think this was a great introduction to Tommy. We definitely had a lot of elements of Tommy in these episodes, even though they were focused on Hen, Bobby, and Chim. But I don't know, I'm excited. I'm glad we did this. I'm glad we kind of got back to go. And now I have to go back and watch the rest of the series because it's been a while since I've done a rewatch.
I know, I really do want to, like, so bad. So, like, at some point when this is on hiatus, I will, like, do, like, a full-on rewatch, right, which will be super fun and kind of weird because usually I don't do full rewatches. And, like, just, like, this little bit we've gotten to Tommy and obviously the current season, I'm just, like, I want, like, more Tommy backstory.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying we're going to get that.
I know, that's what I'm saying. We need it because, like, not even like how, like, I know the Begins are like how, like, you know, they like their revelation that ends up with them being here, but like I need like him, like, after he leaves the 118 and kind of that story.
Tommy Begins Again. Well, I feel like that's it.
Tommy's new beginning. That's what I would feel.
Yeah. Because it's like, yeah, so we've gotten stuff from Lou. We've gotten stuff from Lou that says that Tommy had, like, an unstable childhood. And we've gotten some stuff from him that, like, because Lou is very much advised to play Tommy very similar to how he himself is. So we can look at, like, some of the stuff that Lou shared about himself, like being slightly overweight as a kid and having to deal with struggles that come with that because kids are absolutely cruel. And but also like the stuff that Tommy himself has shared, like he was in the army. How long was he in the army? Can we also get like a canonical age for him? Because the fandom is very divided.
We are. It is
like, very.
I don't know if it was confirmed, but like it was put out there that he was born around like 1984.
Because that's Lou's birthday. That's what the wiki says, because that's Lou's birth year.
But I feel like that makes more sense, especially, like, timing-wise. Because, like, in Hen and Chim Begins, like, Tommy is, like, an established firefighter, I feel. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he's been
there.
He was in
his late 20s, early 30s by that
point. Yeah.
Like,
I definitely think there's a slight age gap in like Buck and Tommy's relationship.
Oh yeah,
there's like, I would say more than like 8 years though. I still think I'm very
no,
much
no. I think it's longer than that. I don't.
So do I. And I part of it I think is he shared that he had flown helicopters in the military.
Yeah,
which takes quite a bit of training to have that experience because you go through basic. Go through training, go through pilot school, go through training for the specific helicopter, whatever plane you're going to fly. That takes a lot of time. So he was probably in the military for 5 to 10 years before he even came back to LA to go through firefighter training, which is like a 12-week long program. Then he's at his probationary year. And so I feel like he's at least 30 when we first are introduced to him in 2005.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's
I feel like that puts him too old. I think that puts him too old.
Well, he's definitely over 40.
We'd be looking at him playing a character closer to 50 at that point. And that's not...
I think he's probably 40 to 45.
Well, because... Because Buck is like 30.
Mm-hmm.
Buck is 31 to 32 because he was born in either 91 or 92. They have not confirmed exactly which one that is.
Yeah, and mid-season 6 when he was shocked with the lightning bolt, he was announced as 30, so he's 31 32 now, there's definitely an age gap.
There's
and
an
I'm
age
okay with that.
I'm not sure I believe it's as big as all that, but I do want them to mention it at one point because it's there.
Yeah, it's it's like an obvious thing that, you know, like it's not like too dramatic. It's maybe like 5-10 years, I think. Probably closer to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's, and also it's like, you know, I see people making a bigger deal sometimes about the age gap than it needs to be. They're both fully grown adults. Buck is over 30. And people like to compare it to Abby too. Abby was like 45 when Buck was 26. Like, that is also a bigger age gap, and they were still both adults.
Right. That was, I still, like, now I'm looking at it, I find that relationship so weird. And I know new watchers of 9-1-1 are like watching it and they're like, that's weird.
There was a lot weird about it. Age was not the biggest thing about
the
it.
Age but... wasn't, the age actually isn't the thing that bothers me. The thing that bothers me now looking at it is that, like, that just the fact of how she got in contact with him.
Yes.
I guess, like, crosses a boundary, and that's gotta cross even like protocols, I guess.
I mean, we had Maddie get in touch with a woman outside of dispatch because of a call, and then getting in trouble because of everything that happened with that, like in season 3. Yeah. So I don't know. It's like, yeah, no, there was a lot that happened with the whole Abby deal. And also like part of it, yeah, no, it just rubs wrong, especially knowing like what Buck was going through at various different points. Like, he was not ready for that kind of relationship.
No, he wasn't. Yeah, I have a few thoughts on that, but I'll save that for another Buck episode. I could go on a tangent for a while. Do we have any fan thoughts? Did anybody share anything about the Begins episodes?
Oh, I literally forgot about fan thoughts, but somebody emailed something, and so that was cool. Hey all, hope I get this to you before you record, because I have thoughts about Tommy. I haven't been able to fully watch all the Begins episodes, but I have watched some of the scenes. One scene being Tommy and Chimney in the locker room, where Chim is trying hard to be Tommy's friend, and Tommy is brushing him off. I think that maybe Tommy thought Chim was cute, but was pushing it down so he couldn't even try to be his friend. Also, do we ever get a scene after Chim saves Tommy's life? If not, do you think it's going to get brought up in the end coming up episode? Another scene I've seen is Hen, Chim, Tommy, and Bobby having drinks at the bar, with a lot of people talking about Tommy being the one to bring up Chicks Digs Cars line. I literally forgot about that.
yes, he did.
I think it shows someone who is deep in the closet. I know someone who 20 years ago would have sworn up and down that they were straight, yet now live as an out gay man who is in his 70s. Talk about late in life, baby gay. Can't wait for the episode. Also, did you guys watch Oliver's interview with Zach saying thoughts? I have not watched that yet. It's an hour long.
I've seen clips of it.
I've seen clips of it. But I will watch it, and then we can talk about it in our next episode. I think that'll be a better place to talk about it anyways. Yeah. I just haven't had the time to sit down and watch it, but I am excited to watch it. And with the clips I've seen, I really like it. And I think it's a really great interview. It's like a glorious hour of Oliver Stark just talking about all things.
I love him as Buck, but I love that accent.
Listen, his accent is just gold.
Yes. Yeah. I would love for Buck to get hit on the head and then, like, all of a sudden start talking in an accent and everybody thinking he's nuts just because I want Oliver to talk about
They did something like that and they're not exactly, but I love when people have accents, because they did something like that in Chicago Fire, because one of the guys who was like one of the lieutenants and then the captains is Australian, and so there was this one scene. Yeah, there was this one scene where he just Jesse Spencer. He like just randomly like talked in his real life accent, like imitating somebody who was Australian. It was like, oh, that was so bad. And then like the joke is he's actually Australian.
Right? Yeah.
That's so funny, actually.
Yeah, I think it would be funny. And they did something similar to it in Night Shift, but it was somebody had gotten hit. Like a guy had some rebar go through his head.
Oh, I vaguely remember that.
And him and his wife were somehow connected, and so they had to, when they removed it from him or her, there was some injuries, and so when he came out of after surgery, he had some damage, and so he started speaking. He was fluent in English and Chinese, and so when he woke back up, his brain just started, he just started speaking in Chinese again. So they had to use like tablets and Google Translate to kind of translate so the husband and wife could communicate. But yeah, I would love to see him have like Buck go through this concussion where he's like conked on the head and like starts talking in an English accent for the entire episode.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't wish more injuries on Buck, but
I know everyone, like, it's like every season everyone's like Buck needs to get hurt, and I'm like, no.
Yes, it's someone else, you know. I know people are saying they want it now because they want to see like worried Tommy boyfriend, but I'm also like, we could also have worried Buck boyfriend if something happens to Tommy.
Just down for that.
Me too. I'm down.
Yeah, no, I think, oh, I'm living for this. I'm just enjoying all of it.
I'm like living for like conversations between Chim and Tommy now. Please. Like in the next episode, obviously.
I need them to go out for drinks again. I need them to do a catch-up thing with like Chim, Hen, and Tommy. They just all go out for drinks and they're like, okay, run us through what's happening, because clearly.
Right. Well, and we all know that something happens with Chimney during the bachelor party. So I would love to see it, the full circle moment of Tommy saving Chim some way, shape, or form.
That's like my theory, which we'll definitely talk about next week, because I have so much thoughts on just that whole scenario.
I did want to touch on the fan thought really quick, because they mentioned how like, oh, Chim thought, they're like, you know, Tommy thought Chim was cute. I've seen that, and I'm not against the idea. Mm-mm. But also I have this idea that Tommy also had a very, very reluctant crush on Sal.
I see that. So, I do. Like, I feel like if anything, I feel like it was just like Tommy, like that might have been like the first time he started to have feelings. And like, even if it was like, well, obviously it was nothing, but like, even if like it was just him, like, oh, wait. And then that kind of was like his start to figuring himself out.
I'll have to send you guys my Maida that I wrote on it, because I wrote a whole Maida on Tumblr about it. I'll have to send you guys it because, oh, I got into it.
Oh, we love it. Yeah. I saw something. I can't remember where I saw this. It might have been on Twitter, where somebody was like, I just want to see, like, you know, Tommy going to save Chim. And then, like, he brings him to the wedding in the helicopter. They get there. Then they come out of the helicopter and Tommy kissed Buck in front of everyone, including his parents.
Yeah.
Yes. I need it. Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah. I love it. I love all of the theories coming out.
And we'll have a lot more like theories with the back next theories.
Yes, we will. Yeah. So
we're all gonna have
wants, everything.
I know we could talk a lot more, and I know we'll be talking a lot about Tommy upcoming episodes. So
it's gonna take a lot here.
I have no problem with that. I have said it and I'll say it again. I am a Buddy fan. I totally believe he's their endgame. But I am happy that Buck is getting the experience that he needs to find himself. And I'm glad Tommy is being a safe person for him. And I think regardless of whatever happens with them, they will continue to be friends.
Yeah. I'm on the Tevin train right now.
Oh, yep. I'm fully on Tevin train right now. Like, but I will be with Buck and Tommy for as long as they happen, whether they're in game or not. Like, I am here, I'm loving them, and Tommy rapidly rose into like my top five characters like overnight.
I know. Yes.
And I will say this too. One, we still need Lou and Oliver to confirm whether it's Tevin or Kinley. Just please. Saying.
I mean, nobody is using Kinley. If you look all over social media, Kinley is non-existent.
It's Tevin.
So
yeah.
I don't think, even if they went with something else, I don't think anybody would be following them.
Right. Well, yeah, and I, yeah, so I feel
Tevin
like
also makes way more sense.
Yeah, and I also realized that Chim hadn't gotten his nickname yet during any of that. So I think that's why Tommy tends to call him Howie, which is also why he probably calls Buck Evan, because he doesn't know any of the different, you know, because that's just what he's used to.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's also the fact there are some people that, like, they'll just call people by their given names, or like, just like, that's just how they are. And I feel like Tommy just might be one of those people.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
And, like, also, it's like, it is something special between them. You know, he's the only one that consistently calls Buck Evan. Yeah. And man, I could listen to him call Buck Evan all day.
Yeah.
As it's the way he says it. But yeah, no, I'm here and I'm happily watching all of this.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for joining and listening to us. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to check out our website, 911lsroundup.com. You can also follow the podcast on our socials at 911lsroundup on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. And we can also chat on our Discord servers. The link's in the description of this podcast and also on our website.
You guys can follow me, Katie, at TheLoveOfTarlos on Instagram and TikTok.
You guys can follow me, Grace, at RonanRatha911 on Instagram and at ShipGirl31 on Twitter.
You can follow me, EJ, at EJ8302 on Instagram, Twitter, Threads, and pretty much everywhere on social media.
Bye.